Today's guest, I have Conor O'Connell, and he is the MD from MCS. They are a business management solutions, which is helping customers grow their business, all about IT, software. As Conor once said to me, Joe, we get our customers to tell the truth. Conor, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Joe. Thanks for inviting me.
Management systems, you know, they are evolving as we move quicker along, and things are getting faster and faster all the time as well. So, you know, is it important, like, for a company to have a management system, or, you know, should they, a lot of them still use pen and paper like I'm scribbling here?
Yeah, I suppose, look, I mean, software has evolving since the 27 years I have been even in MCS. Back then, like, the applications were developed in DOS applications. There was nobody wanted to know what the data was, okay? It does. You input the information, you output what you wanted, and job done. But now people want the answers quicker, okay? The answers have to be available on the spot, okay? There's no such thing as waiting. If somebody's waiting for 5 minutes for an answer now, they're gone, that's too slow, like, okay? They want answers now. They want to see their information available at the touch of a button.
But is that just life? Because everybody now wants instant gratification, you know, with Facebook and Twitter, they're looking for it. Has that sort of trickled into business that people have got impatient for trying to get the information?
Oh, very, very much so, like, yeah.
But, is it?
So before, like, you, if you were developing an application, you might say, look, you might have that in 3 or 4 months' time. They go, oh, no, like, we want it as quick as possible, like, you know, it has to be delivered to us and tested and implemented very quickly. Like, okay, so people have become impatient, but it's just that IT has evolved that we are giving solutions quicker to companies. And the managers and the strategic managers, they want to make a decision based on their live data that they have now, that it is accurate, and they want to make the decision now.
Like, I'm thinking the word that's popping up, have some people got lazy, you know, that they're expecting, you know, all this stuff to land right on their doorstep without thinking at the process of what the work that goes behind it to get it there?
Very, very much so. Okay? Even when you're putting a proposal together for somebody, you really have to outline the steps involved.
Yeah.
Because all they see at the end is the final product. And they go, oh, that was easy. But they don't realize the work and the effort that goes in behind developing all these solutions, the thought process that has to go behind it, the training, the testing, the implementation. There's a lot goes on behind the scene that they don't see.
Spinning plates.
Yeah.
Customer business management systems. Like, what are they? Are they, you know, for companies out there in the manufacturing, like, are they, is it the blood running through the veins of an organization that keeps them ticking over? Is it the tool that allows management to oversee what's going on within an organization so they can make better decisions? Like, what is a management system?
Management system is a tool that runs every organization, okay? You can have many tools in an organization, but those tools are not talking to each other or they're not communicating. So you're ending up with data in data, a thing called data silos. Okay, so people might have, just taken a simple example, is they might have an Excel spreadsheet to do their reporting or whatever. Okay, but the only person that has access to that information is the person that does the Excel spreadsheet themselves. Like, okay, but the manager wants the information as well. Okay, so you have to try and share that information. Okay, whereas a management systems will come along and you enter the information onto a management system, which would be like could be an ERP solution, or whatever accounts products that you use at the moment. But then you can add tools onto that to make the data more shareable to everybody else in the organization. So it is a case of looking at what you have, seeing what we can do to make it more automated, to get the data more accurate within the system, train up the users as to how to use the system properly, change your processes, as many processes as automated as possible. So then all your data then comes into one big data warehouse. And so within this data warehouse, then you can then create dashboards. You can visualize what's going on in all your different departments. So then you can then make business decisions based on what trends you're seeing going on within your dashboard. And don't forget, we say a dashboard is live, okay? So you're constantly seeing the information that you're seeing is just after happening. Whereas when you get a report, the report might be 2 or 3 days old. It's no good anymore, like, okay?
You need to be accurate. Yeah.
You have to be accurate in real time.
You made a statement there which sort of hit me. You know, people that create spreadsheets, they're the ones that really know the information that's in it. And if they hand it to someone else, that other person might know what they're looking at. Because when you're developing it for yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you say, well, there's the sheet, look at that. And people go, well, hang on, I might as well be looking into a black hole here. I don't know what it is. And if you have then multiple spreadsheets and different people developing them, does it get a bit confusing and a bit lost?
Yeah, what happens there is, I think, is people misinterpret the rules of the organization or interpret the rules of their data incorrectly. Okay, so some people will be filing their information against expenses when it might be entertainment or whatever. So different people in the organization have now got a different interpretation of the way the data should be stored. But then if you come back and say, we do a business review of all your data that you have and all the tools that you use within your organization, we then redefine these rules. So it's called reverse engineering. Okay? So we reverse engineer all your processes and say, now, these are the new processes. And this is the way the information should be entered. This is the way it should be. Go through your system. And now we can get very accurate reports. For everybody across the organization is working at the same thing. But if you've got multiple spreadsheets going on, people will continue on doing what they think is right, but it could be wrong.
And the person in the accounts department is only as good as the information that they're getting as well.
Totally, yeah.
Which then could have an issue with KPIs, would that be?
Oh, yeah, because the data is inaccurate, okay? Yeah. So if you have inaccurate data, like you think you have the right figure, but reality, you mightn't have it. So.
Yeah, because, you know, like a good friend of mine, he's the KPI king. He's wrote a book on KPIs and, you know, it's sold over 5 million copies. And I've said to him, like, you know, everyone talks about KPIs, but do people actually know what they are?
It's a very good point, yeah. I do think nowadays KPI is becoming a normal term.
Yeah.
Where 5 years ago, well, just for anybody who doesn't know, it's key performance indicators, yeah. Okay? So these are looking at things that are critical within your organization. So if something goes wrong with them, the KPI should flash up straight away to say that there's something wrong here. You need to act on this. But you can have many KPIs within a company, within a department, so everybody's KPI is different.
The one thing I understand the KPI of, it doesn't give you an answer. It actually gets you to ask a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what you do with dashboards. You're constantly asking questions. Okay? Traditionally, when you had your reports, the reports prompted you with questions, okay? And you answered those questions and you delivered your reports, okay? And you go, oh, that's a lovely report. But then you might go, oh, can I investigate that figure a bit further, okay?
So you're saying drilling down into it.
Constantly drilling down, yeah. Okay? And look, it becomes very addictive when you start off, okay? Because you're constantly going, I want more information on that, I want more on that, more on that. But then when you have it all accurate and you're happy with everything, you just look at it in the morning and go, that's my KPIs. That's all I need for the day.
Yeah. So like dashboards, and especially if a dashboard is live and it's, you know, in real time, that, you know, you see something, you go, okay, let me drill into that department. So is it drilling into like the warehouse? Is it drilling into the sales department? Is it drilling into the accounts? Is it drilling, like, can you drill in to every department and every person in that department as well to see what they're doing?
Again, this is where you come along with your different tools, okay? At the moment, a lot of organizations that have data in spreadsheets, they have data in legacy systems, okay? So we'd come in and we'd look at, okay, how can we get the data from the legacy system and from the spreadsheets into your accounts? Okay, so we can now link the dashboard into all the different systems. Okay, so if you now have got credit control would be a very good one now, where lots of people use Excel spreadsheets in order to do their credit control. Okay. So ideally, what you should be doing is having the credit control module on a dashboard. So on the dashboard, and now you can see what do my customers owe me from 3 months ago? What invoices from 3 months ago are still outstanding? So when you click on March. So if you click on December invoices and see these are outstanding, the system will just show you just straight away like these invoices are outstanding. Okay, so that means you have to act on why these invoices have not been paid. Okay, so that way you'll tidy up your credit control very quickly. But also, whatever the person in credit control is putting into the system, the managing director or the financial controller can see straight away that they've rang those customers, so they'll see an audit trail of what's going on.
Can they eliminate fraud? Well, you know, what I mean? Like on the floor, you know, things, accidental fraud. Is that the right word?
Well, I suppose we would have systems put into companies that would be trade counters, okay? Or they'd sell goods to the customer over the counter. And it would be amazing how many people would underprice products.
That's what I was saying. So discounting. So, you know, is it a case of someone says, look, this is the price. Well, that's the best price. And it's a limit on that. They can't go any further. So they could limit, it could stop giveaways.
You stop giveaways and also make sure that every product is sold over a certain margin. So you're always, okay, look, sometimes you might try and give a discount, but you can't go below a certain level.
So could you then, a picking list in the parts department or the stock department, that you could actually then pick, you know, a picking box or a picking list and just audit that at random. So shelf 5 from A to B, and then just do that really quickly and see what your stock is a lot quicker than that end-of-year stock where you stock take everything.
Oh, yeah. You know, with the ERP solution, you can stock take at any time. So you're constantly stock taking. So especially on quick-moving products, you do a stock take nearly once a month. But you can just do a stock take on that product, on the products that you feel are moving quite quickly,
yeah,
and make sure that there is no theft going on.
What's that system called again?
It's called Intact IQ.
Intact IQ. Okay. And so, look, I'm fascinated about it as well because, look, we're all in business. We're all trying to watch the bottom line. We're trying to, you know, just you're managing staff and you're managing, you know, goods coming in and out. And there's a lot of, like, spinning plates, as we said earlier on. Has new technology, like AI, is coming on board now as well? But is there technology that, or mobile technology, that is helping the staff make their life easier as well?
Yeah. So within the ERP solution, like, there's mobile technology available on it. Okay. As you mentioned there about the stock take is all done on mobile devices. Okay. So they're just going around scanning the items, putting the number, and it's back into the head of the central system straight away. Like, there's no waiting for a delay. Once you press submit, it's gone in. Okay. Mm. The other thing then, I suppose, that goes on is sales guys on the road having to know, is there stock available? What's the prices? So from their mobile app, they can see what stock levels are of each item, is the availability, and what's the prices.
Yeah.
And the other one that's been very successful is delivery drivers. When the delivery drivers are dropping their goods at site, before they get a signature, or they might even get a signature, the docket would be left in the van. But now, with the mobile phone, they have to get a signature before they leave, and the signature straight away appears into system, in the centralized system, instantly. Like, so if the customer comes along complaining that we've never received the goods, we have their signature.
Yeah,
so
watch some Instagram videos of people getting the goods delivered and the next-door neighbor coming along and robbing them.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, our delivery man taking them to, in the States. It's quite amusing, isn't it?
And the other part now is that we now plan the journeys. Okay, so when the guys are doing deliveries, you stock the van up depending on the distance. Obviously, the closest ones are at the back door and the furthest are at the inside. So you can do planning, your journey planning within the whole software as well. And then that that list of jobs goes to the delivery guys.
Time, because that's the real thing with deliveries as well, isn't it?
It's always time, yeah. And you can trace where your parcel is going, what time is it delivered, and when you expect the time of delivery.
How are manufacturers at the moment? How are they, you know, how is business for them? You know, are they seeing that, you know, that they have to work harder for clients now, and is systems and, you know, management systems helping them achieve that?
Yeah, so we've put in the ERP into numerous companies, and one in particular that comes to mind has they're after opening their third shop last week. Again, so I said without the Intact IQ, they wouldn't have been able to do that. Okay, they're seeing everything that's going on within their organization. The software before was hindering their progress. They found everything was very manual. But now all their processes are all automatic. They have all the sales guys are on mobile devices, deliveries on mobile devices. And they said the amount of time they've saved by not doing things manually, they wouldn't believe themselves at the beginning.
What are legacy systems?
Legacy systems come in many different forms. And some of them are 40 years old. So legacy systems are... Look, within every department, with every organization, you have a piece of software that's running within the organization and has never been updated, or it can't be moved because it's on old equipment. But it does its function. Like, I mean, we're not saying throw it out, like, okay, but it might be a case of, let's look at, can we do something else with it, okay? Or can we find a solution within the ERP solution to do the functionality that legacy software is doing? With the Intact IQ, it's very flexible in meeting customers' requirements, but it also allows us to develop on that platform. Okay? So if we can look at the legacy systems and see can we redevelop that system within Intact IQ, it'd be the best way of going. So then therefore, you don't have to worry about that legacy system anymore. You can move your business on because you now can get the latest technology because it's all on the new platform. So legacy systems can hold you back, but it also has its function. Like, I'm not saying that it's not working. It just might be a new way of looking at doing things. And
it's doing a job, but might be doing the job to its best abilities.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's also a familiarity. People are familiar with the product. So people don't like change either. So change is another factor that comes into it.
So if you're looking at business as well, and you're looking at, say, someone has a legacy system, they can go, okay, well, it's doing this. But they could be missing out on so much because legacy systems as well are mainly servers, and a lot of stuff has gone cloud as well. So you can have a choice of both. But, you know, is it a case of my mobile phone? And if my mobile phone was a legacy phone, which it nearly is, because it's an Apple 5, it's starting to even, I can't even get certain stuff on this at the moment. So it's doing the job. But I know, looking at my daughter, she just got a Samsung new Galaxy. Quality of the camera, different apps, faster processing as well. And I'm kind of going, if that's my phone and I have a legacy system in, which I'm trying to make my company to be more profitable, and I'm trying to, you know, execute things on a faster, in a faster way because this is what clients want. It's actually could be holding you back, though.
It is holding you back. It's because you can grow, but this, you always have to be mindful of this legacy system. Okay, this legacy system has to keep going. It's interesting you said about the phone, okay? So when the phones came out first, they were just a phone. They continued on to do all your activities on your computer. You carried a clock with you. You carried your camera with you. I mean, you carried many devices with you in order to get through the day. Like.
Yeah.
But now if you don't have your phone, you're lost. I mean, you don't have the time. You don't have a camera. You don't have your maps.
You can't do your banking.
You can't do your banking. So all of that was all different silos of information before. Yeah. And then they all come onto one platform, okay? But that's the same with legacy systems, that they're all individual, they're in their department, but not coming into the whole function, the whole operation, sorry, into the whole management software operations. So what you could do is we look at legacy systems and say, right, see, can we, if you're getting information out of it, can we automate the process? Can we automate the data coming out from it and bring it into the ERP solution? Okay, we're not saying get rid of the legacy system. It's just see, can we enhance it to get the information? See, can we automate it more? Because more than likely people are coming along and they're extracting the data from the legacy system. They're then taking it into Excel. They're manipulating the data. And it's open to human errors. So ideally is that we can automate the importing of the data from the legacy system into
you
the
need to pull it across. Yeah.
Need to put it across in a,
like, what is a legacy system? Is it something that's 3-year-old? Is it something that's 5-year-old? 10-year-old?
Even more than 10 years, I'd say. More than 10 years. Yeah,
would be.
Yeah.
And if then that people have them, like, I don't know, a computer, like, if I do, like, do we have even computers which are 5-6-year-old? I think people get their computers changed every 5-6 years because they start to slow down. You know, people change their mobile phones every year or 2 years. So if you're relying on a legacy system to get your business sorted, you really need to have a look at it though. Wouldn't you?
You do have to look at it, like, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe,
because it's, like, at the time we have developing it, yes, it was the ideal solution for you, like, okay? And it might be the ideal solution for you at the time, okay? But things have changed, okay? Even redeveloping it would be cheaper and be more cost-effective, but it would also bring you into more modern technology. So leaving the legacy system and start to just leave it there, it's not really an ideal solution. You really should be looking at.
Yeah, it's doing the job, but you know, it's like if you're driving an old banger of a car, it gets you from A to B. But if you get something new, it gets you there quicker, better fuel, more comfort, that sort of.
Yeah, and it'll be less cost effective as well. Because to maintain a legacy system, you are looking for, like, I mean, as I said there at the beginning, we've got COBOL applications, okay, and companies are still running them. Yes, I'd like to get them off the applications, but they're not changing. But for to get a COBOL developer now, they're hard found.
Like,
and that increases the cost of running it.
Like, you're looking at, you know, wholesalers, sales departments, trade counters. You know, they might see this as a cost, but it's not. It's actually an investment because it actually can speed up stuff that they need, create better customer service as well, and at the end, make their company more profitable.
Totally, yeah. So you mentioned wholesalers. The customer we converted to Intact IQ, and they had 8 legacy systems running. And they have converted everything onto one platform now, so they have 10 branches around the country. But once a sale is done down in one of the branches down in Cork, the managing director and head office can see that sale straight away. And if that person tries to sell the good below cost, a flag is worn. They're not allowed to sell the good. So it's monitoring all of that.
It's monitoring that as well, yeah.
So it's monitoring everything.
What about the training? What's the, you know, people don't like change. Mm. People like to run a mile when they feel that there's change coming. And it's not that they feel, like sometimes they feel that it's, okay, I'm going to be caught out, or, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm doubting myself being able to find new keystrokes. You know, how is training evolving as well within the organizations that you're working with?
Well, before we'd start any application now or developing any solution, we'd always insist on training. If you're not going to train,
it's no point.
We're not doing this project, yeah. Okay? Because training is critical, okay? First of all, you've given a reward to your staff. Look, I'm giving you attention here. Like, okay, I'm going to do something for you that's making your life easier.
Yeah.
If you make their life easier, they're more motivated to do more work. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good approach, actually, instead of saying, we're training this new system. If you don't like it, we're going to kill you. Yeah. Instead of saying, look, this is to help you with your job.
Yeah, but also I would say when we're doing the implementation and the installation, we're constantly talking to the staff that are going to be using the software, what way they want to see it running, okay? So when it comes to training, it's no problem because they now know exactly what they've been part of the solution, they're delighted to be part of the solution, and therefore they're just happier employees.
Empowerment,
yeah.
Yeah. Who's your clients? Who would be your clients?
who are our clients? They're quite varied. I suppose we'll have about 150 clients. So they'd range from the dumb providers would be a big one. The Irish Examiner. We've had a lot of work with a lot of the newspapers, actually. A lot of DIY shops. Doris Distribution and Barefoot, they would be two big ones, wholesalers in Dublin. And then we've got customers all over the country. We'd run after the port, the Automobile Association, the IFA, the Marathon. So, yeah, so we've a very range, a great range.
So you've a great range, so which obviously then offers, you know, your experience in all these different organizations, and they all function differently. So, like, I don't want to get the word bespoke, because that can cause any company a headache if you have 150 companies and it's all bespoke. But I'm sure the system allows you to tailor make it that suits the needs and the wants of every organization as well.
Totally. I mean, yeah, bespoke, yeah. Look, every company is different. Every company, if you have two wholesalers selling the same product, they're going to do things differently, okay?
Yeah.
So you have to be able to adapt the software to meet their needs. And that's where, I suppose, the word bespoke might come in there. So Intact IQ is flexible, that you can change the screen layouts, you can change, add in additional functionality within the software. So you're not limited to the restriction, to the out-of-the-box functionality of Intact IQ. You can change it. So then part of the whole process then, I suppose, is meeting the customers, getting what their requirements are. So we'd start off with a business review process. Okay, please tell us what your business is, what you want from us. Okay, and then the solution might be varied depending on what the customer is looking for. Sometimes it could be an Intact IQ. Sometimes it might be a development solution. It might be Sage 50. So everybody's needs are different.
I do. Yeah, well, that's true. It's like in a family, isn't it? You mentioned to me source of truth. What is that? What is source of truth?
Source of truth, okay. Look, every organization should be working off the one set of data, okay? So the one set of data that it's accurate, and it's in real time, but the one source of truth is all the data from all your different systems, all your legacy systems, your bespoke solutions, your Excel spreadsheets should all be feeding into one central location. So from that central location, you can make business decisions, they're not accurate data. But also, it's that everybody is now looking at the same data, and they're looking at the same data and they can collaborate together to make
better business decisions.
Yeah. And even working on projects like that. This is what happened in the last time, but looking at trends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speeding up the process, really, isn't it?
Speeding up the process, yeah. Being able to measure your business better. If you don't have a one source of truth,
you're screwed. Yeah, really.
You're measuring stuff that's not accurate.
Yeah, but you could be, if you don't have the one source of truth, you could be looking at the wrong data, which will give you the wrong decisions, which will send you down the wrong road. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I suppose it's, with the one source truth, is trying to remove as much manual process as possible. So you're removing humans, you're removing human error.
I think a lot of people would like to remove humans.
Unfortunately, we can't do that. No. So it's just trying to remove as much human error as possible. So that once the data that is entered into the system is accurate.
Yeah.
And it's accurate, and then you can make a decision based on that.
What's 2023 looking like within the industry?
Well, AI seems to be the thing now. Okay? It's the thing everybody's talking about. But again, you can talk about AI, but AI is forecasting what's going to happen in the future. But if you don't have your data in order at the moment, it's going to be impossible to go to AI, because you have to have a solid foundation before you can start looking at AI.
Yeah, AI is, you know, it's machine learning. And a lot of people, like, just, you've probably seen it on LinkedIn, and you've seen it, you know, everywhere, AI this and AI that. And it, from our point of view here, is going to go, okay, it's helping to do everything. but it's not helping to people to be authentic in their own conversations. So for what we're looking at, when people are writing stuff now and they're putting it, it's all AI, and going, you know, you still can't be in a good conversation, and AI won't be able to do that.
No. AI might it might replace people's jobs, like, but it's a thing coming down the line like that. It's gonna be quite big.
It's the big talk now at the moment. But you know, I think it'll help speed things up as well. But we'll see in that. Connor, if someone wants to reach out to yourselves, where can they get in touch? How can they find yourselves, your website, your LinkedIn profile? What would that be?
But the best place to go is supposed to go to the website, which is mcscomputers.ie. And in there, you see all our contact details and all our LinkedIn and Twitter posts that are all there.
Okay. And you're putting content up regularly as well and sharing out information with people.
We are, yeah. So we're quite active on that, the social media platforms now.
So nearly 50 years the company's been in business. Well, hopefully it'll be in business for another 50 years. Maybe your son might take over, huh?
For 50 years, I won't be there.
Yes, well, maybe your son will. Huh?
It's live on radio now.
Thanks for coming to Dublin South FM.
All right, thank you, Joe.